Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday morning on AM 1340 KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe, and you will get a new show each Sunday morning, usually. And this show, of course, is produced by my very dedicated team of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School, under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. Andrea's on the board. Thank you for everything that you do. Much appreciated. I told her she could chime in because we have a very, not that she can't chime in anytime, but especially today, we have a very special guest. Today, I'm very pleased to welcome our superintendent of schools, Dr. Sandra Lyon. Welcome back, Dr. Lyon.
Thank you.
And the last time you were here, I couldn't say doctor.
That's true.
I knew it was coming, but you said, no, we're not going to say it till it's official. So congratulations.
Thank you. It is cool. Official, and I actually just got my bound dissertation mailed to me, so I've got the book and everything.
Awesome. And we're here June 10th. Getting ready to wrap up another school year already. Like, actually, a couple days ago was the end of the school year for 2017-18. Getting ready for the new school year already. It's crazy. I remember when I first started in the district, it seemed like there was a huge lull when June came around, and then we didn't really get fired up till, you know, about mid-August, getting ready for September opening. And now that's changed quite a bit.
I think the pace of everything has sped
up. Well, and it has to be.
Right.
I mean, we just have to accomplish so much in such a short amount of time. But we're doing it. And for those who have not been regular listeners and maybe are not that familiar with Dr. Sandy Lyon, give us a snapshot of where you've been and...
Sure. I'm finishing my second year here in Palm Springs Unified, which I really can't believe. It does seem like the blink of an eye.
Right.
But I've been a superintendent for 10 years now. So two here, five in Santa Monica, Malibu. And then for 3 years, I was a superintendent principal for a K-8 rural school district in northern part of LA County. And so even though you were superintendent, you ran the district per se, it was a one school district and you had a board, you also did everything from having to make sandwiches in the cafeteria sometimes. So that was a great experience. And then the other 20 years, really half of it as a teacher and the other half within my administrative experience. So I've been a site leader and been able to do, I feel like, just about everything I've wanted to do in the K-12 system, from being a teacher in the classroom to being a principal to now in this district role. So I feel very fortunate to have served in wonderful districts throughout California and Southern California, and now to be here where I feel like I'm meant to be.
And you were relatively familiar with the district even before you applied to work here.
That's right. So for a couple of years, I was a consultant, and I worked for Thinking Maps Incorporated, which is actually headquartered in North Carolina, but does work throughout the country. And they were here in California have been for a number of years. And I was working in another district when I got to know them. And they asked me to be their full-time consultant for a couple of years. And then I consulted with them for a number of years after and did training until I became a superintendent in Santa Monica, Malibu, and that was just too much. But during that time, I had the great good fortune of being sent to Palm Springs Unified to train teachers in the district. In fact, one of my biggest trainings was right here at Cathedral City High School, where I trained the entire staff on a day one many years ago.
And you tell the story about, you know, sitting with your husband, who I like to refer to as St. Paul, because this guy, he's still doing it, but he's retiring this year, right?
He's gonna be done soon.
Finally, been driving to Antelope Valley for... he did it when you were in Santa Monica,
right?
And he's done it every day for the past 2 years from here. And he does it pretty happily.
He does.
He has a little road rage but.
You know, that's a lot on a body sit that long and drive that long. But, you know, he's been at his school his whole teaching career, and he loves it, and he wanted to retire from there. And so
that's a dedication.
Yeah.
Those are the teachers we want. So that's why I refer to him as St. Paul. He's awesome.
But he is the one who said when we sat here, when I was doing a training many years ago, we were having coffee at Starbucks and close to the mountain, looking at the desert landscape, and he said, it'd be great to live here someday. And
here you are.
Here we are.
That's so great. So you a little shy of 2 years, just a couple of weeks shy of 2 years. So what is one thing, if you could pick something that was something that you were surprised about, just not about a particular person or like something that you like, wow, I didn't know.
Well, I think I may have even shared this when I first came here, but it bears reiterating, I think. That's just the passion and love and support that people in the community have for our district. Every community has that to some degree, but I really continue to be impressed with how much our communities love and care for and feel about their schools. And it's not just our parents and our students and those who've gone through our systems. It's the city leaders, civic folks, the community leaders, and just even some of our part-time residents who still come in. They volunteer in our systems. They work with our foundation. So that, to me, continues to be something that I wasn't quite prepared for at the level that I see it, and I'm continuously impressed by.
Well, that's a really good thing.
It's a great thing.
Like, you didn't pick something and say, oh my gosh, I didn't know this, and I wish I had known, and maybe I would have reconsidered. And there's our bell that we have every so often, being in a classroom studio. But that's okay. We just go.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Joan, because, you know, we know the brain sort of loves the negative, and usually it's the negative example that comes to mind. But when you say that, and I really reflect and think, there isn't something that has been revealed to me thus far that makes me think, oh, I wish I knew that. I would have reconsidered, or I might have made a different choice. I don't feel that at all. I just think there are so many opportunities here that we're building on and leveraging right now. So I'm glad you pointed that out to me. Oh, I'm luckier than I even thought.
That's awesome. So speaking about how lucky you are, what would you say, what are you most proud of over the past 2 years?
I think, it takes a little bit longer than people sometimes expect to get to know a system. And so I think I feel entrenched. I feel like I live here. I know where everything is now. So I feel really glad about that. And what I think I'm most proud of is that there were a number of things that were coming together in our district as a system that were ready for maybe some outside eyes to come and point out to people. It's not as if there weren't things here that were already being done, but I think sometimes outside eyes help people see how they can be knit together. And I feel like everybody's sort of got the same vision now for where we're heading, especially instructionally. And that's the heart and soul of what we do. And so to see those pieces coming together and to see the kind of synergy that I feel is being created across the district with all of our departments. And that's not just because of me, it's timing. You know, I think across our systems in public education, we have operated in many ways as silos. We have worked in a competitive manner for a whole host of reasons. And I've quoted here, and I use it a lot with trainings that I do, that Michael Fullan always says, you know, how healthy a district organization is when the principals in one building care almost as much about the students in another building as they do their own. And I think that is what we're really breaking down here, is the opportunity for people to not work independently, but to work interdependently. And I'm really proud of the progress that we're making in that area.
Yeah, we never had, I've been with the district for 17 years, and the principals always meet once a month you know, you have the elementary principals and then you have the secondary principals. And what's been new since you've come into the district is that all the principals meet on a fairly regular basis together, which you don't find that very often. And it wasn't the culture here.
Right.
But I think that everyone's found the value in that.
Well, there's that interdependent piece, right? And so our elementary students become middle school students, become high school students. And so the more that those principals are talking to each other, in fact, I was at a school today where a middle school principal talked about the need to do better articulation with the elementary schools that feed into his and the high school that his students feed into. And I think that there's never enough time. There aren't enough hours in the day. But the more more that principals reveal that there's a need, then the more we're able to create the infrastructure that helps support them in figuring out what they need to do.
Right. And also, one thing that's changed too is a lot of times principals don't have direct contact with the superintendent unless she is coming with her team to, right, you know, take a look at what's going on. And right, you do that on a regular basis, and, you know, not only go into classrooms and see what's going on, but then talk about it and see, you know, this is working well, this needs some work, and right, what can we do to improve. But you also, before anybody walks into those principals meetings, you're in there with them,
yep,
for at least 30 minutes. It's supposed to be 30, and sometimes you run a little longer. None of us know what you're talking about with them. We all are like curious, like, go listen at the door.
I know.
But I think that's very much appreciated, too.
It's so funny you say that, because I think we're talking about very mundane, pedestrian things. But I think, you know, we often in organizations have this hierarchy,
right,
and chain of command that needs to be in place for certain things, without a doubt. But it also is a barrier to real communication. And I was mentored by somebody years ago who really instilled in me that the principals are the superintendent's job. Of course, the Board of Education is my primary work, because I work with them to enact their vision for the district and make sure that they have everything they need to enact governance and that their policies are being meted out. And the only way for us to do that is via our principals and our school leaders. Of course, the district office staff are also doing that, but we are all there to support those school leaders. So that really, I think, changed how I look at my role. And I don't know that all superintendents were inculcated in that same belief, but I really feel that if we don't have good principals in those seats, it changes the education of all the kids in that schools and the support and direction of the teachers on that staff. So I love that time with our principals. And, you know, they've pointed out to me, they get to know me better, because
right,
if I'm always with other people, you know, conversations and dynamics are changed when just one other person is introduced into the room. So it's been a good experience. I know it was a little awkward at first, I think, to know that I was saying, okay, just me, nobody else. But I really do treasure that time, because we're not trying to do something or solve a problem. We're just talking.
Right. And it makes them feel
connected, I think.
That's the word. That's not and what I was going to say, but that's it.
And yeah, I get an opportunity to be that bridge for them to the board and to some of the decision making. And, you know, as I said earlier, there aren't enough hours in the day. And sometimes we assume that principals understand why we've done something. And so in that setting, they feel free, I think, to ask me, why are we doing this? What about this? Are you aware of this? And it just creates an open, honest dialogue that I'm happy to have.
And I'm sure sometimes you get things from them that you didn't realize, you know, oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Didn't think of that.
Absolutely.
And that's why you have to give them that opportunity to vent, for lack of a better term, to share.
Right. And, you know, we have such a respectful district culture that, yeah, I think sometimes folks feel that to give feedback that may be perceived as negative or critical in any way isn't something they should do. And so one of the things that we're, you know, really trying to get everybody to see is we have a great relationship at our district office with our district leaders, and we're very honest and open with each other. And so it gives me the ability to come back and say, hey, guys, here's what I'm hearing. What do you think about this? And very often, if something bubbles up that way, the district administrators say, we didn't know,
right,
because nobody was really communicating that. So I think all those things will help us do our jobs better and relate to each other.
If you don't create
way,
the atmosphere where that's okay.
Right.
And I knew that from the day I met you before you even started, when you just met with cabinet for a few minutes and told the story about a member of your cabinet in Santa Monica that said his favorite way of starting a conversation was, oh, well, let me push back on that. Was that something like
that's
that,
exactly right?
That's exactly right. And
yep,
you like, have at it,
yep,
you know, and it was okay. And he didn't have to worry about that he's going to lose his job over it, or that you were going to hold it against him for the rest of eternity.
Right.
And I won't go into details, but that is something that that wasn't always here in this district.
You know, I think when any of us in our seats, and really doesn't matter what seat you're in, think that we have all the answers, that's when we get into trouble. And the best thing we can do is pull more heads together and really grapple with what's going on, because somebody, I am certain of it, knows more or has a different experience or a different perspective that's going to add to that decision.
Right. They might not know more, but they come from a different place and they're having different experiences right. than you are.
Absolutely. So it just makes us make better decisions.
Right. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on 1340 KWXY, and our very special guest is our Chief Executive Officer, our Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Sandy Lyon. What would you say, what are some challenges that may be unique to Palm Springs Unified mm-hmm. that maybe some other districts, either locally or in other parts of the sure. state, don't have?
Well, couple of things. We're obviously a diverse community that has different needs in different parts of our school district. And so it isn't always a one-size-fits-all approach that's going to work for us. And so in other maybe more homogeneous districts, that may not be the case. So I think that's one thing that we always have to consider. Our students come from challenging incomes often. So we have a high, low income population. And now that's the new terminology that we're using instead of socioeconomically disadvantaged, which we've used for years.
Say it again.
Low income, just
low
to
income.
Be very,
okay.
because I
people,
think.
That's a big word that people are like, what does that mean?
I know. And yeah. I think the other thing is that, you know, just because your income isn't high doesn't mean you don't have other socio-cultural benefits. And I think that we're trying to make sure that people understand that. But if you don't have a high income, it does mean that there are certain experiences and activities that you may not be able to participate in outside of school. So for us, we want to really consider our students who may need extra tutoring, enrichment activities, other kinds of resources, our laptop program, you know, or our Chromebook program, for example, so that we are giving kids technology that may or may not be in the home and access to the internet. So we're always thinking about our students and what we can do to supplement and support what their parents are providing for at home. And I've worked in high wealth districts, and you know, I'm from a teaching family, so we've always been able to do the things that we need to do, but not at a high level. And I've seen what that looks like at a high level, and it is a very different experience when your parents provide tutors for everything and for prepping for college and all of those things that most of us just didn't have access to in our growing up years, and a lot of our students certainly don't as well. So we want to think about that as well. And I think we've got some great programs and are continuing to use our LCAP to determine how we can go in and support those students throughout their educational experiences, and then particularly as they're prepping themselves for whatever they're going to do after their high school education.
And along those lines, on, you know, not every kid is the same, and we have such a diverse population. I know that one of the key focal points for you and our board is not only the concept but the implementation of equity
right.
versus equality. And that's something that, you know, this is kind of a buzzword mm-hmm. and it's been around, but I don't know that people really understand
right
what that means, and that it's okay if one school or one child even get something that another child doesn't.
That's right.
Because they need it.
And so I think, you know, at a very basic level, equity is giving every student what he or she needs in order to achieve proficiency or above in our academic world. And not just, I won't say just academic proficiency, because I do think we do a very good job in Palm Springs Unified, and we're doing a better job of looking at the whole child and supporting behavioral and mental health as well. So we're really looking to see what students need. There are certain things that everybody needs, and we're understanding that, and that's at the foundational level. But you move up the pyramid to think about our students who are most vulnerable and who have extra needs, and how do we target resources so they get those. And that, you know, our Governor Jerry Brown was very clear about that being important for us as a filter in public education, and that's why the LCFF was created, so that there would be what we call supplemental and concentration grants for districts like ours that have higher poverty rates in other districts. So the hard thing is to unlearn what we've done forever, which is still to use that money and apply the treatment across the district the same. So I really think we're having great conversations and doing different things now. Instead of saying everybody needs this position, we ask ourselves more deeply, let's take a look at the root cause of the problem, what the issues are, and then try to meet the needs via resources. And in education, it's mostly personnel that are the right people to help support those students. And sometimes it is other resources. It's extra books, extra technology, access in different ways for families and students. So that's the hard work. And I'm really proud of our district and our staff for really tackling that and understanding it's not about a zero-sum game. It's not about taking away from somebody so someone else gets more. And the beauty of the LCFF is, you know, Governor Brown said, I'm giving it to you this way because everybody doesn't need the exact same things to achieve. And I always use my own children as examples. You know, we were able to provide some music lessons for them. We did go to museums. We had other experiences. I had resources as a teacher, you know, not just that were financial, but that are personal resources that I brought to their educations that other students didn't have. And so I knew that if somebody else got extra tutoring or extra support in their school to help that child achieve, it wasn't taken away from my student. My child was getting that via the things that I was able to provide.
It's really more about adding than it is taking away.
Right.
You're not
exactly.
You're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, but
right.
Now we have these monies that are to be used where they will support kids that are not getting everything
right.
They need. And as an example, the first one that comes to my mind is adding counselors at all the elementary schools in Desert Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
So some of our elementary schools outside of Desert Hot Springs, do any of them have counselors?
You know, actually, that's one that we are looking at right now and are adding because, and again, based on need.
Right.
So really making sure as we're looking at the profiles of our students and where issues are cropping up, because we actually, you know, do have schools in other parts of our district that are also high poverty, high need, students coming from challenging circumstances. And so we want to make sure they have everything they need to be successful. So that's one that we've targeted and will continue to target and make sure that's the actual service that school needs and what those students need to be successful.
And what would you say, what are, as we move into 2018-19 year, is there anything different from your past two in terms of goals?
Yeah, I think a few things different. One is one of the things that we've all collectively now realized is we don't have our sort of values codified in any way that somebody can pick up a piece of paper and say, oh, this is what Palm Springs Unified School District stands for, represents, believes. And, you know, we have standards, we have these, you know, scope and sequences, our curriculum, but that's not really getting at the heart and soul of who we are. So our board is working on refining the vision and mission. We've had a group called for lack of a better term, we've continued to call them the Guiding Coalition of folks from across our district, classified, certificated, site, district office, who've been working on some statements that we believe address some of those things like you've mentioned, equity, the social, emotional learning and support we want our students to have. And then beneath that layer, we are crafting alignment pieces that are going to be very clear. If you're newly coming into Palm Springs Unified, you're going to know what we expect our teachers to do, what that instructional cycle should look like, how we support you, what those resources are. We don't want to dictate to people their day. And we need to make sure there's a guaranteed viable curriculum across our district so that it doesn't matter what zip code you're in or which school you're attending, there are certain things that we know all Palm Springs Unified School District students will experience and get. And so I'm excited for that piece because I feel that's an alignment piece. We're also working on some, you mentioned counseling alignment as well, so that all of our counselors are working toward the same sort of purposes and that they've been able to put their best ideas so that it's sort of that sharing idea. So if one high school is doing a great job, what are the principles there so that we can make sure that everybody's engaging those same activities and experiences for students. So I think pulling all of that together and really branding it in a way that really unifies us. And, you know, we have a lot of new teachers every year. We had 83 last year, more than that the year before. This year will be another number of new teachers. We want to make sure that every time folks come in, they get the understanding of who we are as Palm Springs Unified, what's so important. And for us, it's a relentless focus on teaching and learning. And we want to be clear about that and how we're going to support each other in that work.
That's awesome. So we did a few months ago, not just the regular survey that parents get every so often. This one was different.
No.
It's called Thought Exchange. So give us a little snapshot of what it was, why we did it, and what did we learn from it?
You know, I mentioned a minute ago that the board's revising and updating its vision and mission. And one of the things that our board really values is input from the community and from the stakeholders. So we had talked about a process for doing that. And one of the things that we talked about was, well, what if at a board meeting we have folks come in and we, you know, sort of a spend a dot activity where you put a poster up and if you like that idea, you put a dot next to it. And, you know, we talked about the limitations. Our boardroom only holds so many people. We know that people don't necessarily want to come out for a board meeting and sit through things to get to one activity. So I had heard about this. It's a particular way of doing a survey, and it's called Thought Exchange. And so what we did was the board worked with a company. We came up with two questions, and the questions were designed to elicit words, phrases, ideas, concepts that would help the board as they help set the trajectory for the next 5 years, 10 years for the district. And so it's kind of cool because instead of with a survey where you answer the survey and then you're done, you answer the survey. It's all short answers, so there's no multiple choice. You don't get to do that. What you do get to do is go back in through the survey and read other people's responses, and then you rate them, just like you would go onto a website and rate a restaurant. So out of, you know, 5 stars, how many stars would you give this idea? And then you can comment on that as well. So we're able to see who said what, and then the number of people that also rated that thought.
When you say who, you don't mean specific.
No, not specific. It's anonymous. It's absolutely anonymous. But we can see within a school. So there's also a heat map that, and it's all going to be available on the website shortly. So people will be able to go in and drill down. And it's great because you can see, for example, one of the things in looking at what is it, one question two was asking, what characteristics do you want Palm Springs Unified School District's basically students to have when they graduate? What do we need to do to prepare them? And communication was a theme, improve their communication skills, that came out across the board. So that's really great for the board to hear. There was also input on alternative settings for schools. Be flexible. We're doing that with our distance learning academy, but also CTE programs. Do different activities and different things for our kids in the traditional setting. So those are the themes that the board will be able to see and then build on as they craft that and update that vision and mission.
I did participate in the survey. And
how'd you like it?
I thought it was great.
And we got a lot of good feedback.
Very different. You don't usually get to, and it opens up your mind to, wow, I didn't really think of that, but that's great.
Yep.
Or no, I think that sucks, and you give them a 1.
Right.
You know, instead
but
of a 5.
But being able to comment and change the, you know, trajectory of that thought. And so I think that's fascinating. We see those. Somebody thought really strongly that this is the case, and then you can see all these people went back and looked at it, but they didn't rate it. So that gives the board data. Maybe that's that one person's strongly held opinion.
It's kind of like,
it's
kind of like along the lines, and some Yahoo puts up something on Facebook and then gets lambasted by all these people. Like, how could you say something like that?
But I think, you know, and I think the idea of that interchange in a space where people can really sit and reflect is really helpful. And so, you know, we may do other thought exchanges going forward once the board, you know, gets to experience it. So we'll do a study session with them where they can dive into the data a little bit before they do their work study and work on updating that vision and mission. And then it will be on the website. So people will be able to go into the data and look at the different thoughts that were exchanged.
That's great. Final thought. If you could change one perception, what would that be about our district?
One perception. I think I would just, I don't know. I think the perceptions of us are pretty good overall.
That's good. That's great.
So I'm happy about that. I would like us to continue to be even stronger leader and be that academic achieving district that's defying circumstances
and with
odds.
You we will be. And this was too quick, and we'll have you back really soon, I promise.
Thank you for
being here.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you will listen next week and every Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 1340 KWXY. Download and subscribe to our podcast by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. We hope you will tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you as always. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.